It's going to be mostly Psalms today. I want to do something a little bit fun that I'll tell you about in a little bit. I want to pray. In Eastern Orthodoxy, there's a different version of the Divine Office, a different version of the Liturgy of the Hours, and I'd like to just pray one of those with you, just really quickly. Well, there is no such thing as quickly in Greek Orthodox liturgy, let me tell you that, but I'd like to pray one of the short ones with you, instead of some of the other things that we usually do, like the office of the Liturgy of the Word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and now Pope Leo inherited them, the monthly intentions for this happy year of hope. 2025, the Jubilee year, the year that hasn't come around in like 3 or 4 decades. Very cool. Let us pray that we might again learn how to discern, to know how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the Gospel. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you for all the success we've had in our ministries through the internet. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Glory to you, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is going to be slightly modified, but for the most part, we're going to pray Eastern or Orthodox, what should be their equivalent of evening prayer, the sixth hour, I think. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Reader, come let us worship God our King. Come let us worship and fall down before Christ our King and God. Come let us worship and fall down before Christ himself, our King and our God. So again, I'll be doing all the roles. Usually they want like a priest and a reader and a congregation and this type of thing. But anyway, we'll also be reading from our translation. Their translation of the Psalms is a bit different. Psalm 54. And they don't do antiphons, which is very interesting. I don't see any antiphons on this card, on this website. O God, by your name save me. By your strength defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer. Listen to the words of my mouth. Strangers have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not keep God before them. God is present as my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Turn back the evil upon my foes. In your faithfulness, destroy them. Then I will offer you generous sacrifice and give thanks to your name, Lord, for it is good, because it has rescued me from every trouble, and my eyes look down on my foes. And again, they don't do a glory to the Father after each one, just at the end, which is very, very interesting. Okay, it's not very, very interesting, but it's a striking difference. Let's try the Greek Orthodox English translation and see how that sounds on this next one. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me, because I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore, pained within me, and the terrors of death are upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of them. Wickedness is in the midst of thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was you, a man, mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has delivered my life in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Glory to the Father. Well, I'm sorry, again, it's Greek Orthodox, it's not the same. And we'll do our own translation, the one that I'm more familiar with, for Psalm 91, because this is one of my favorites. It's one of many people's favorite psalms to pray in the entire book. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shade of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the fowler's snare, from the destroying plague. He will shelter you with his pinions, and under his wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a protecting shield. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that roams in darkness, nor the plague that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, near you it shall not come. You need simply watch. The punishment of the wicked you will see, because you have the Lord for your refuge and have made the Most High your stronghold. No evil shall befall you, no affliction come near your tent. For he commands his angels with regard to you, to guard you wherever you go. With their hands they shall support you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You can tread upon the asp and the viper, trample the lion and the dragon. Because he clings to me, I will deliver him. Because he knows my name, I will set him on high. He will call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and give him honor. With length of days I will satisfy him and fill him with my saving power. And then finally, there is a glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages. Amen. One thing I like about this is just there's some really nice prayers in there, and also seems very personal to me, the way that they're praying the Psalms. I don't know. So the next part is this verse. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory to thee, O God. Thrice repeated. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. to thee, O God. Alleluia. 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 Glory to thee, O God. Three times. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Trilopyrathon, number one, is a short and beautiful prayer. When the stone had been sealed by the Jews, and when the soldiers were guarding thy pure body, O Savior, thou didst rise on the third day and give life to the world. Therefore the powers of heaven cried to thee, O giver of life, glory to thine resurrection. O Christ, glory to thy kingdom. Glory to thy providence, O only lover of men. So it seems very passionate to me, and it also seems just so direct and so simple. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. When thou, the deathless life, didst go down to death, then didst thou slay hell by the lightning flash of thy divinity. And when thou didst raise the dead from the lower world, all the powers of heaven cried aloud, Christ our God, giver of life, glory to thee. Now and forever, and on to ages of ages. Amen. As there is no boldness in us because of the multitude of our sins, do thou, O Virgin Theotokos, intercede with the Son whom thou hast borne. For the entreaty of a mother has great power to win the favor of the Master. Despise not, O all venerable Lady, the prayer of sinners. For he who took upon himself to suffer for our sake is merciful and strong to save. Part of Psalm 79, verse. Let thy tender mercies, O Lord, speedily go before us, for we have become exceedingly poor. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. O Lord, deliver us and purge away our sins, for thy name's sake. And then they have this part of the chaplet of divine mercy, or this word at the end, repeated thrice. And it's before the chaplet of divine mercy. If anything, the chaplet borrowed it from the Greeks. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal, have mercy on us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto ages of ages, which is, I guess, like forever and ever, from one age to another. Amen. O Most Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. Lord, cleanse us from our sins. Master, pardon our transgressions. Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities, for thy name's sake. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and on to ages of ages. Amen. Then there's an Our Father, and an embolism like at Mass. The embolism is, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be, and normally this would be the part the priest would lead. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto ages of ages. Reader, amen. So the reader responds on behalf of the people with the amen, which is interesting. Then there's this prayer. Thou didst rise as God from the tomb with glory, and with thyself didst raise the world, and the nature of man sings to thee as God. And death has vanished, and Adam dances for joy. O Lord, and Eve, now freed from her fetters, rejoices, crying, Thou art Christ, art he who givest all, givest to all resurrection. And then it says something quite strange. It says, Lord, have mercy, repeated 40 times. So I'm not going to do that. But my idea is that this is probably very similar to the idea of repetition, of structured repetition in the rosary, that where we've been praying these prayers that are kind of demanding and may not be applicable to our lives, this is like a time of personal prayer and reflection where the leader is repeating, Lord, have mercy, a prayer that's like the second half of the Jesus prayer, which some monks have been known to recite, like our rosary on beads. And then people can kind of sit and reflect, they can meditate, they can talk to God, while the reader says, Lord, have mercy 40 times. I'm not going to do that, but I can kind of do something like it by praying a decade of the rosary. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we shall look upon the resurrection of our Lord, or the ministry of our Lord, as we reflect and have that time of contemplation. Our Father, Hail Mary, just the Hail Marys. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So again, having that quiet time where we could have more personal prayers and more personal thoughts, I think is actually a really interesting part of this liturgy of the office in the Greek Orthodox Church. And we substituted 10 Hail Marys with the Flame of Love insert for the 40 Lord Have Mercies. Now we're going to go forward rather last little part here of the Greek Orthodox evening prayer. It's a prayer that they say at all the different hours, called the Prayer of the Hours. Thou who at every season and at every hour, in heaven and on earth, art worshipped and glorified, O Christ God, long-suffering, merciful and compassionate, who lovest the just and showest mercy upon the sinner, who callest all to salvation through the promise of blessings to come. O Lord, in this hour, receive our supplications and direct our lives according to thy commandments. Sanctify our souls, purify our bodies, correct our minds, cleanse our thoughts, and deliver us from all tribulations, evil, and distress. Surround us with thy holy angels, that guided and guarded by them, we may attain to the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of thine unapproachable glory. For thou art blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages. Amen. More honorable than the cherubim, and more glorious and beyond compare than the seraphim, without defilement you gave birth to God the Word, true Theotokos. We magnify you in the name of the Lord. Father, bless. Priest, through the prayers of our holy fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Reader, amen. And then the very last prayer is the prayer of St. Basil. So they have a prayer of one of their saints after each hour. It's usually a different prayer each time, which makes it kind of interesting. This is the prayer of St. Basil. O God, the Lord of hosts and author of all creation, who in thine ineffable tender mercy hast sent down thy only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation of our kind, and through his holy cross hast thrown up the handiwork of our sins, and thereby triumphed over the princes and dominions of darkness. Do thou, O Master, who lovest mankind, accept these prayers of thanksgiving and supplication even from us sinners, and deliver us from every deadly and dark transgression, and from all the visible and invisible enemies that seek to do us harm. Nail our flesh with the fear of thee, and do not and let not our hearts incite to evil words or thoughts, but wound our souls with thy love, that ever gazing upon thee, guided by thy light, and beholding thee, the eternal light that no man can approach, may we send up unceasing praises and thanks unto thee, the Father without beginning, together with thine only begotten Son, thy most holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages. Amen. So that was it. That was Greek Orthodox ninth hour of the liturgy of the Divine Office. It's supposed to be like evening prayer. So you can let me know what you think if you wish. I'm just going to read a short little segment of the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska. When I saw that my mind was not being set at rest by my superiors, I decided to say nothing to them of these purely interior matters. Externally, I tried, as a good nun should, to tell everything to my superiors, but as for the needs of my soul, I spoke about these only in the confessional. For many good reasons, I learned that a woman is not called to discern such mysteries. I laid myself open to such unnecessary suffering, to much unnecessary suffering. For quite a long time, I was regarded as one possessed by an evil spirit, and I was looked upon with pity, and the superior took certain precautionary actions in my regard. It reached my ears that the sisters also regarded me as such, and the sky grew dark about me. I began to shun these divine graces, but it was beyond my power to do so. Suddenly I would be enveloped in such recollection that against my will I was immersed in God, and the Lord kept me completely dependent upon him. In the initial moments, my soul is always a little frightened, but later it is filled with a strange peace and strength. All these things could still be endured, but when the Lord demanded that I should paint the picture, they began to speak openly about me and to regard me as a hysteric and a fanatic. and a fanaticist, and the rumors began to grow louder. One of the sisters came to talk to me in private. She began by pitying me and saying, "I've heard them say that you are a fanaticist, sister, and that you've been having visions." My poor sister defended herself in this manner. She was a sincere soul, and she told me sincerely what she had heard, but I had to listen to such things every day. God only knows how tiring it was. Yet I resolved to bear everything in silence and to give no explanations when I was questioned. Some were irritated by my silence, especially those who were more curious. Others, who reflected more deeply, said, "Sister Faustina must be very close to God if she has the strength to bear so much suffering." It was as if I were facing two groups of judges. So again, Faustina has some interesting perspectives. This is more of her personal reflection on her own experience rather than her catechesis, like she was trying to teach. She was almost presenting like a form of teaching before. So it's an interesting remark. She says a woman is not called to discern such mysteries. Again, you wouldn't take that as if that were dictated to her by God, as if women can't be good spiritual directors or can't touch on the mysteries of a great saint. But it's honestly, it seems to come more from her own experiences with the sisters and religious directors. And you know, Faustina is not in any great hurry in many cases. In the diary, she shows herself much more reserved about all of these matters of women's position in the church than someone like Therese of the Little Flower or something like that. But she goes on, and she's feeling tortured and humiliated by the women religious superiors, tortured and humiliated by those who are supposed to be her family members, the other religious sisters, because they don't get it. She has something very unusual is happening to her. Not just the sufferings, but more than that, the relationship, the direct relationship that she has with God, very individual, very unusual. Even for someone who takes the sacramental life and takes the practice of the rule as seriously as Sister Faustina, you'd expect them not to have a problem with her. And yet they still do, because she has this intimate relationship with God, and it manifests in a very charismatic way, in a very different way than they're used to. And that's just going to cause her endless conflict within the convent, because it's just not done. At that time, what she's doing is very strange and very out of the ordinary. Not just in terms of her visions or revelations, but in terms of just the way that she's approaching her spirituality and her relationship with God. For our very last part, I do want to take our shortened Liturgy of the Hours, as much as we can of it, and take a look at the regular one that we do every day. Alright, if you bear with me, we'll pray one more psalm, the traditional Latin right way, with an antiphon. The antiphon is, "God will deliver his people from bondage and bring us home rejoicing." Psalm 53, which is just one below what we started with in our other liturgy. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God above. Their deeds are corrupt, depraved, not a good man is left. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men, to see if any are wise, if any seek God. God will deliver his people from bondage and bring us home rejoicing. All have left the right path, depraved every one. There is not a good man left, no, not even one. Will the evildoers not understand? They eat up my people as though they were eating bread. They never pray to God. God will deliver his people from bondage and bring us home rejoicing. See how they tremble with fear, without cause for fear. For God scatters the bones of the wicked. They are shamed. God rejects them. Oh, that Israel's salvation might come from Zion, where God delivers his people from, when God delivers his people from bondage. Then Jacob will be glad and Israel rejoice. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." Reading from "The Lord will teach us his ways, and we will follow in his footsteps." A reading from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, two passages combined. The wondrous story relating the help God offered to Jehoshaphat, the Moabites, the Amorites, and with them some Menuhites came to fight against Jehoshaphat. The message was brought to Jehoshaphat. A great multitude is coming against you from across the sea, from Edom. They are already in Hazeron Tamar, which is in Jedi. Jehoshaphat was frightened, and he hastened to consult the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all Judea. Then Judea gathered to seek help from the Lord. From every one of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Israel of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand is power and might, and no one can withstand you. Was it not you, our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have dwelt in it, and they have built in it a sanctuary to your honor, saying, when evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. All Judea was standing before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their young sons, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaz-Ezel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jedidiel, son of Mithiat, a Levite of the clan of Aesop. In the midst of the assembly, he said, Listen, all of Judea, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says to you, do not fear or lose heart at the sight of this vast multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the God's. Go down against them tomorrow, and you will see them coming up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will come upon them at the end of the wadi, which opens at the wilderness of Jezreel. You will not have to fight in this encounter. Take your places, stand firm, and see how the Lord will be with you to deliver you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or lose heart. Tomorrow go out to meet them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat knelt down with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord in worship. Levites from among the Kohanites and Kornatharites rose to sing the praises of the Lord, the God of Israel, in a resounding chorus. In the early morning they hastened out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they were going out, Jehoshaphat halted and said, Listen to me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Trust in the Lord your God, and you will be found firm. Trust in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting with the people, he appointed some to sing to the Lord and some to praise the holy appearance as it went forth at the head of the army. They sang, Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. At the moment they began their jubilant hymn, the Lord laid an ambush against the Amorites, Moabites, and those of Mount Seir, who are coming against Judah, so that they were vanquished. For the Amorites and the Moabites set upon the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and completely exterminated them. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they began to destroy each other. When Judea came to the watchtower of the desert and looked toward the throng, they saw only corpses fallen on the ground with no survivors. Responsory prayer. Our struggle is not against human enemies, but against the principalities and powers, against the evil spirits. Stand firm and let the truth be the belt around your waist. Stand firm and you will see the Lord coming to deliver you. Stand firm and let the truth be the belt around your waist. Second reading. From the Treatises on the Mysteries by St. Ambrose, Bishop, to the newly baptized on the Eucharist. Fresh from the waters and resplendent in these garments, God's holy people hasten to the altar of Christ, saying, I will go into the altar of God, to God who gives joy to my youth. They have slogged off the old skin of air, their youth renewed like an eagle's, and they make haste to approach that heavenly banquet. They come and, seeing the sacred altar prepared, cry out, "You have prepared a table in my sight." David puts these words into their mouths. "The Lord is my shepherd, and nothing will be lacking to me. He has set me down there in a place of pasture. He has brought me beside refreshing water." Further on we read, "For though I should walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I shall not be afraid of evils, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff have given me comfort. You have prepared in my sight a table against those who afflict me. You have made my head rich in oil, and your cup, which exhilarates, how excellent it is. It is wonderful that God rained manna on our fathers, and they were fed with daily food from heaven. And so it is written, man ate the bread of angels. Yet those who ate that bread all died in the desert. But the food that you received, that living bread which came down from heaven, supplies the very subsistence of eternal life. And whoever will eat it will never die, for it is the body of Christ. Consider how now which is more excellent, the bread of angels or the flesh of Christ, which is indeed the body that gives life. The first was manna from heaven. The second is above the heavens. One was of heaven, the other is of the Lord of the heavens. One subject to corruption, if it was kept till the morrow, the other free from all corruption. If anyone tastes of it with reverence, he will be incapable of corruption. For our fathers, water flowed from the rock. For you, blood flows from Christ. Water satisfied their thirst for a time. Blood cleanses you forever. The Jew drinks and still thirsts, but when you drink, you will be incapable of thirst. What happened in symbol is now fulfilled in reality. If what you marvel at is a shadow, how great is the reality whose very shadow you marvel at? Listen to this, which shows what happened at the time of our fathers was but a shadow. They drank, it is written, from the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. All this took place as a symbol for us. You know now what is more excellent. Light is prevalent, preferable to its shadow, reality to its symbol, the body of the giver to the manna he gave from heaven. Responsory prayer. Our fathers passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. Everything that happened to them was symbolic. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink. Everything that happened to them was symbolic. O God, who adorned the priest, St. Calimus, with the singular grace of charity toward the sick, pour out upon us by his merits a spirit of love for you, so that serving you and our neighbor, we may at the hour of our death pass safely over to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, bring us everlasting life. I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for the soul in purgatory. May he or she be released, and pray for us and help us too, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe we also have some intercessions that we could do. We wanted to. Let his breast, Christ, the compassionate and merciful Lord, who wipes away the tears of those who weep, let us cry out to him in love and ask, have mercy on your people, Lord. Lord Jesus, you console the humble. Be attentive to the tears of the poor. Merciful God, hear the cries of the dying. Comfort them with your presence. Make exiles aware of your providential care. May they return to their home on earth and finally enter their home in heaven. Be merciful to sinners who have fallen away from your love. Reconcile them to yourself and to your church. Save our brothers who have died. Let them share in the fullness of redemption. Have mercy on Bill and grant him your grace and help. Have mercy on Henry and sustain him in his academics and his other journey, spiritually and physically. Have mercy on everyone in our community, especially the online prayer communities and evangelization and catechesis communities. Amen.